Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I'm your host, Captain Marvelous, and welcome to the 84th episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. We have two episodes left, and that would mark the end of Batman the Animated Series' original run. That's the way, when everybody thinks of this series, this is what they remember. We got one more season to go, 20 more episodes, but that is the redesign era. That is where the series starts to join the Superman animated universe and the Justice League and becomes a whole other thing. So two episodes left, and then we are done with the original run of Batman the Animated Series. Let's dance the dance. They dance in France. Let's get to it. This week's episode is titled Bullet for Bullock. Original air date, September 14, 1995. The title card is a silhouette of Detective Bullock about to be hit by a car. Looks pretty cool. I mean, not really anything spectacular about it, though. We start off with Detective Bullock walking down the street when a car tries to run him over. Bullock shoots at the car but misses, probably killing some civilians in their home. And I want to mention that this episode takes place around Christmas time, so there's a very likely chance that there's a lot of people just celebrating Christmas or something when this guy decided to just shoot at their homes. The bat signal is lit, and Batman shows up looking for Commissioner Gordon. Bullock is there, and he tells him that he needs his help.
Commissioner?
Nope. Me. I got a problem.
And you want my help?
Let's get something straight from the get-go. I think you're a freak and a menace, and those are your good points. But the commish says you serve a purpose, so I go along.
I appreciate your honesty.
Bullock tells Batman that someone has tried to run him down twice in the last 2 weeks. Batman wonders why Bullock won't just get help from the department.
Why me? Why not just go to the department?
I step on a lot of toes. I don't want internal affairs looking at me too close. They might find some things I don't want found.
Are you on the take?
Watch it, freak! I never took a dime from nobody! I just bend the rules a little sometimes. You understand? We're not all that different.
We're on the same side, but we're not the same.
I love this conversation. Bullock and Batman have a lot in common, and the fact that both of them don't see it just shows exactly how much alike they are. Bullock gives Batman a disc containing the last 5 years of cases he's been working on. He didn't want to run it through the department computer because someone might suspect something. Batman agrees to help and leaves. Bullock gets to his apartment building and drags mud all over the floor. The building manager slash owner sees him and tells him something about it. The guy's like this skinny, overly snooty blonde man with a little French mustache and a red smoking jacket.
There's a doormat outside, Mr. Bullock.
Really? I thought you were the doormat around here, Nivens. Don't crowd me, dork, or I'll wipe my feet on you.
Take out your garbage once in a while. Your apartment stinks. I won't have roaches in my building. And turn the heat down when you're out all day!
Happy holidays, Nivens.
After that, Bullock goes inside his apartment, which is dirty and falling apart with holes in the walls. And then he sees a hand with a gun come out from behind a coat rack. Bullock turns on the light and draws his gun, but it's only a whole bunch of cockroaches that scatter when the lights turn on. It's pretty gross, actually. We're at the Batcave, where Alfred is talking to Batman. And we haven't seen Alfred for a while now. I don't think he's had a speaking role since the Condiment King episode. And that's sad, because Alfred always has the best lines.
We are speaking of the same person, are we not? Harvey Bullock, the detective who looks like an unmade Ben?
The same.
He came to you for help? It must be serious.
Batman says it's going to take a while for the computer to cross-reference the name, so he's going to go follow Bullock around, because he just might need a guardian angel. We cut to Bullock, an officer... Oh, wait... Sorry, Detective Montoya. Hell yeah, girl, moving up in the world, as they are about to do a drug bust. They walk into an old building and bust down the door. There's three men there counting money, two of them surrender, but one runs away. He runs to the roof of the building and Bullet goes after him. They have a gunfight, and just as the bad guy is about to get the drop on Bullet, he's about to shoot him from behind. Like, seriously, he has a clear shot. Batman shows up and knocks out the bad guy. Batman and Bullock have another conversation.
Watching your back. Good thing, too.
I asked you to find a name, not hold my hand.
You're welcome.
I just love how much these two are alike, and they make a great team, but they're both too stubborn to see it. Batman has some questions for Bullock, but Bullock tells him that he'll answer them after he's done with this. Montoya arrives, and Bullock reads the crook his rights.
You got the right to remain silent. If you give up that right, you'll probably bore me to tears, so keep your trap shut, dog breath.
Bullock arrives at his apartment, and he sees movement inside. He draws his gun, but it's Batman. Batman has a bunch of threatening letters that Bullock has been receiving. Bullock says that he dusted them for prints, but there's nothing on them. They have been hand-delivered to his mailbox. Batman doesn't think whoever is mailing the letters wants to kill Bullock. He thinks that a professional hitman would just kill Bullock at home, not on the street. And Bullock then makes a good point. He says a person who gets killed by an amateur is just as dead as the one who gets killed by a pro. Batman, like, I guess he proved his point, so Batman just leaves. We cut to later at night, and we see Bullock coming out of a convenience store with a bunch of junk food. He goes to wait for the subway train, but someone sneaks up from behind and shoves Bullock into the train tracks. Bullock manages to avoid getting hit by the train, but the perp is gone. Back at police HQ, and Bullock is sitting at his desk. He's like drinking coffee, but his hands are shaking. Montoya arrives to talk to him, and okay, I just seriously love the dialogue in this episode.
You okay? You don't look so good. I mean, you never look good, but today you look worse.
After 15 years working in this cesspool, I like to see how good you look.
Well, you're sure full of holiday spirit. What are you doing for New Year's?
Same thing I did for Christmas. My laundry.
Batman arrives in Bullock's office, and he's narrowed down the suspects to one. Vincent Starkey, aka Vinny the Shark. Bullock explains that he busted Vinny the Shark's drug ring and sent him to Stonegate for 20 years. Batman found out that Vinny the Shark only served 8 years of his sentence for being a model prisoner, and he's now out, and probably the guy trying to kill Bullock. Batman says that he'll find Vinny, but he wants Bullock to follow up on a lead. Bullock gets angry, saying he's no rookie, he shouldn't be taking orders from Batman. And Batman tells Bullock that Summer Gleason did a report on Gotham crack houses, and she might know something about Vinny. You know what, I'm kind of surprised that they just straight out mentioned crack houses here, but that's actually the tone this cartoon had, like the series. So I do appreciate that. Bullock goes to Summer for help, but she seems to just despise him.
Bullock, what are you doing here?
Need a favor, Gleason. That shoot you did down in Cracktown?
You still owe me for the last favor I did you.
Hey, Summer, where's your Christmas spirit? You know you can trust me.
I trust you about as far as I can throw you.
And then things get awkward and a little bit rapey, actually.
Come on, Gleason.
You're lucky I talked to you at all, Bullock. Tell you what, come back in an hour.
I don't like that scene. Bullock grabs Summer, spins her chair to face him, then he grabs her hands and he does the creepy smile and he's all like, come on. She slaps his hands away and turns back around to do some video editing or whatever it is she was working on. Bullock leaves, but sees Summer's office along the way. He sneaks inside and starts searching through all her files. Meanwhile, we see a drug deal going down. Batman shows up and nabs the drug dealer, taking him to the top of a building. He asks about Vinny the Shark, but the dealer says that he's not his connection. Batman drops off the dealer. He drops the dealer off the building, dangles him by one leg, and makes him almost get hit by a truck. Then the guy talks. Back to Bullock, and Summer catches him in her office. She kicks him out and slams the door in his face. On the street, Bullock gets picked up by Batman in the Batmobile, and Batman has found where Vinny the Shark is at. He's running a meth lab at an abandoned warehouse. Batman and Bullock are at the warehouse, but Batman feels that Vinny the Shark may not be responsible because he isn't the type to warn people. He would just kill them. Inside, we see Vinny the Shark, and if we haven't seen this guy before, then we should see more of him. He has a cool character design. He looks like a white-haired Leonard Cohen, and he even has, like, the deep, smooth voice. Like, I really like how this character looks. I think we should have seen more of this guy. Batman jumps right in and starts beating up the Shark's henchmen. Vinny is about to shoot Batman in the back, but Bullock shoots the gun off Vinny the Shark's hand, saving Batman. One of Vinny's henchmen drops a car shell on Bullock and Batman, and they are trapped inside. Because they're inside, like, an abandoned car factory or something. Vinny is about to kill them, but Batman tosses a smoke bomb and gets free, beating up the thugs. Vinny runs away, but Bullock chases after him. He runs up a rafter and jumps onto a chain, swinging and knocking Vinny down. Like, seriously, you wouldn't expect to see Bullock doing this type of thing, but it's pretty cool. Vinny gets cornered, and Bullock grabs the gun and points it at his head.
Merry Christmas, Vinny, and Happy New Year! Just call me Santa. And guess who's on top of my naughty list?
No, Bullock!
Relax, Cowlhead. This dirtbag don't get off that easy. The rest of the gang?
Taken care of.
Good. I'll radio for a wagon.
Vinny and his men get arrested and taken to interrogation. Vinny has no idea what Bullock is talking about regarding the threatening letters. Bullock gets angry and just has them taken away. Bullock is walking home when a masked man with a gun steps up behind them.
You should have taken my advice, Bullock. You should have left town. I tried to scare you out. I didn't want it to come to this.
I know you.
Stay back! You wouldn't take the hints, so now I have to settle it this way. It's your fault. I tried to warn you.
The man is about to pull the trigger and kill Bullock, but he gets knocked out by Batman. They remove his mask, and the gunman who was trying to kill Bullock was Nivens, the apartment owner.
Nivens?
Why wouldn't you move? Why wouldn't you get out? You and your late hours and your filthy habits. Do you have any idea what your apartment's worth these days?
You wanted my apartment? You mean all this was about rent control?
No. I wanted you gone. You're not a tenant. You're a pestilence. You insult me. You treat me like dirt. No jury in the world would have convicted me. They wouldn't have convicted me.
Somebody like Vinny wants to pot me. That's no surprise. This. You know, it's funny. I was thinking of moving anyway. Neighborhood's really been going downhill lately.
Bullock is just shocked about this whole thing, and he arrests Nivens. And Batman tells him that... Well, Bullock says, I guess I owe you one. And Batman tells him, you have enough problems. Batman leaves. The end. Alright, there's really no notes on this episode. It has like a jazzy like soundtrack, which I guess is cool. I'm not a fan of jazz, but it fits the tone, the noir tone they're trying to tell. It's pretty cool. Really, other than that, the voice of Nivens was done by Jeffrey Jones. You may know him as the principal in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, or the dad in Beetlejuice, or for him being a registered sex offender who got busted for child pornography. That's actually true.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
All right, everybody. Time for the Batcave Archives. This is the part of the show where I rank each episode we have reviewed thus far. This is episode 84. And as I mentioned, this is the second to last episode of Batman the Animated Series original run before the redesign era. So where would I rank this one? This is a cool episode. Once again, no Robin. It's kind of weird because there was a thing where the studio was forcing the creators to have Robin in every episode. So if you notice the last season, the last two seasons, Robin has been in every episode. The last two episodes, though, didn't include Robin. And the reason for this is because these episodes were produced earlier than when they declared Robin should be in every episode. They were done and made, but they got aired later. So this episode has a weird vibe to it. It's really cool. It just kind of feels like a actual cop detective story with Batman in it. I like their focus on Bullock. I like Bullock as a character. Like, yeah, he's an ass, but at least he's, I wouldn't say really honest, but at least he's on the side of the law. As I mentioned, I like that him and Batman are very, very much alike. Especially the fact that neither of them can see it because they're both too stubborn to think they're like the other. This is a really fun episode, the whole mystery. For some reason, I always thought, I mean, I've seen this episode like two or three times, but for some reason, I always thought Killer Croc was involved in this episode somehow, but he's not. We got Vinny the Shark. So we don't really have a big major villain, Vinny the Shark and Nivens, but it's still a cool story. I like the parallel that there, you know, there's always the thing where if Batman wasn't around, we wouldn't have Joker or Penguin or Two-Face. He creates his own villains because he's crazy. It kind of goes to show you that it goes both ways, like, I mean, with normal people, because Bullock, for all intents and purposes, is just a normal detective, but he created this guy who was trying to kill him. I mean, it's not on the large scale as the Joker trying to kill the whole city with an atomic bomb, but in terms of somebody in this police department creating their own villain just for being who they are, Niven's going crazy trying to kill him. I like that parallel of Batman creates his own villains, but then again, so does Bullock, so do the cops. So I thought that was pretty cool. Once again, this is a fun episode. Let's look at the episode that kind of reminds me of this one. And that was the episode POV, where we got the point of view of three police officers, Montoya, Bullock, and a rookie. I have that episode ranked at number 35. I don't know. This episode is actually, I think, just as good as that one, if not better. I thought that episode was cool just because it gave us the different points of view of the people working with Batman. One thought he was lame, Bullock. The rookie thought Batman was basically magic, and Montoya was like the level-headed one. I really like that one. Right above that, we have Deep Freeze, and that is the episode with Mr. Freeze, his second appearance. That's the one where it's basically Batman versus Walt Disney. You know what? This episode, I think, is actually better than that one. And number 33, we have the episode Second Chance, and that's the episode where Harvey Dent tries to delete his Two-Face persona by getting plastic surgery. He kidnaps himself. It's a whole thing. No, actually, I think that one is better than this one. So you know what? At our new number 34, A Bullet for Bullock. All right, everybody, that's going to be it for this week. One more episode left, and then the original run of the series is over. I keep bringing that up because it's so amazing to me that we had one season with 60 episodes, and then two seasons with 10, and then the last season is only 5 episodes. It's so weird to me. As I mentioned, we still have 20 episodes left. But this will be the Batman redesign. It is different. Not just the look, but the storytelling, the style is different. Because this is when the series moved from Fox to the WB. And remember, the original vision of the creators was to make each Batman episode a kind of mini movie. That's why we get title cards. So they wanted to have each episode be like, have its start and conclusion and be like its own little thing. Kind of like if you were living back in the 40s or whatever and you went to go see serial shorts in the theater. We then move to the WB era, where things follow now a more comic book path. Once I start reviewing them, that'll make more sense. We start doing more things with magic. There's magic involved in some episodes. Characters, you can tell they're working on the world building for a Justice League. So it's a little weird. It's a way different tone than this one. But we only got one episode left of this one. Also, if you kind of noticed, I sound a little weird. I'm sick at the moment, so thank you for tolerating that. But thank you for listening. And remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes or the show in general, send them to Captain_Marvelous1@yahoo.com. I have been your host, Captain Marvelous, and remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are...
A pestilence! You insult me, you treat me like dirt! No jury in the world would have convicted me!